Now, my first point in this message is the importance of faith. The importance of faith. I wish that I could impress upon myself and upon you the importance of faith. The Scriptures continually emphasize over and over again the fact that we're saved by faith, not of works, not by the deeds of the law. We are saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's by the grace of God through faith. And that faith's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Four times in the Word of God. Four times. The Scripture says the just. Now, not just in themselves, but just in Christ. We're justified in Christ. But the just shall live. That is, they begin spiritual life, they continue in spiritual life, and they shall live eternally by faith. The just shall live by faith. Four times the Scripture says that. And then he says this in Romans 5, Paul writes, Therefore, being justified. Justified is to be not guilty. Just as if I had never sinned. It's to be perfectly holy, righteous, without fault, unblameable before God Almighty. Justified. How is a man justified? He's not justified by decision. He's not justified by works. He's not justified by deeds. He's justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I read to you from Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say it's difficult to please God. It says it's impossible. He that believeth, our Lord says, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, I've prayed for you. Not that you wouldn't deny me, because you're going to deny me. Not that you wouldn't go through trials and anguish and heartaches, because you will. But I prayed for you to this end, that your faith fail not. Our Lord said in Mark 9:23, a man came to him and he said, if you can believe, this man with the son who was desperately ill, he came to our Lord asking that the Lord heal his son. The Lord said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. That's what we read in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith. It was faith that caused Abel to bring the blood instead of the works of his hands. It was by faith that Abel brought the lamb instead of the fruit of the garden. It was by faith that Abel came to God looking to the coming Redeemer. It was by faith that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was by faith that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It was by faith that Abraham left his father's house and went to a land that God would show him. It was by faith that Abraham offered up Isaac. It was by faith that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all of the so-called bounties of Egypt, by faith. So you see, that's the importance of faith. And it says, these men all died in faith. All right, here's the second question. What is faith? What is faith? I'll give you two definitions. Now, the first one is found in 2 Timothy 1. I want you to turn there, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What is faith? What is faith? I know that preachers are so indefinite about this. They're so seemingly dense. It's just believe. Just believe. That's all you have to do. Just believe. Well, what am I to believe? Whom am I to believe? What is this thing of faith? Well, let me see if I can help you. Now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who perhaps was the greatest preacher of the last 200 or 300 years, at least the greatest preacher England produced in those years, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said he had found many so-called definitions of faith, but this one he found to be the best. It's in 2 Timothy 1:12. What is faith? Now, Paul says in verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." This is the first part of faith. There must be knowledge. A person, I tell you, he cannot trust an unrevealed Savior. He cannot believe in and trust and rest in a Lord and Redeemer he does not know. And this is what Paul is saying. I know whom I have believed. Now watch this. Paul didn't say, I know when I believe. That's immaterial. I know a lot of people say, well, I can take you to the spot and I can take you to the place. I can take you to the time and I can take you there to the beach. But that's not important. Paul didn't say, I know when I believe. I believe he did know. But I believe there are a lot of people who don't know. He didn't say, I know when I believe. And he didn't say, I know what I believe. Faith is not in a what. Faith is not in a system. Faith is not in a creed. Faith is a person. I know whom I have believed. That's very important. I know it. I know who he is. I know that Jesus of Nazareth is their God of their God. I know that Jesus of Nazareth, though he's a man, perfect man, is God in human flesh. I know that Jesus of Nazareth is the shepherd of the covenant, is the Christ prophesied and promised in the Old Testament. That Jesus of Nazareth is the representative of a divine purpose and plan and of a people God gave to him. I know that Jesus of Nazareth is my righteousness and my sin offering. I know that Jesus of Nazareth, though he died, he lives again. He's at the right hand of God. I know whom I have believed. I don't believe in a myth or an historical character or a religion. I believe God. And notice I didn't say I believe in. You know, there was I read the story one time of an old Puritan preacher who lay dying. And his wife came in and sat down beside his bed, and he said to her, quote some scripture for me. Well, she came, quoted this verse right here. She said, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed." And the old man raised his hand and said, "Stop, woman." She said, "What's the problem?" He said, "You quoted that wrong." She said, "No, I didn't. I know in whom I believe." He said, "There's no in that phrase." He said, "Don't even let a preposition come between you and the Lord. It doesn't say, I know in whom I believe. It says, I know whom I have believed." Did you know there's a difference? The devil believes there's a God, but he doesn't know that God. He doesn't know that. I know whom. All right, faith is knowledge. I know whom I have believed. Why do we go over and over these things of who Christ is, what Christ did, why Christ did it, where Christ is now? That you might know him. And here's the second thing, is confidence. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am totally confident, I am totally persuaded that he is able." He is able to do all that he said. You can't believe. Now, you just can't believe in one to be your Savior who is limited in any sense of the word. He's got to be a sovereign, able, sufficient, capable master. He's got to be. And this is what Paul is saying here. I know whom I have believed, and I know, I'm confident, I'm totally persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is able. He's able to do what? He's able to keep all that I've committed to him. He's able to present us faultless before the throne of God. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his own. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He's able. Christ is able. He's a sovereign, sufficient Savior who is able to redeem my soul and to keep my soul. He's able. I know, I have confidence that he's able. And here's the third word. I know whom. I know knowledge. I know whom I have believed. I'm settled on this matter of who the Redeemer is, who the Christ is. Whom do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I know whom I have believed. And I know this. I'm confident, persuaded, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he can save me. That water can't save me. The wine and bread can't save me. My deeds and works can't save me. My denomination can't save me. It doesn't have the power. My decision, my morality, all these things cannot save me. But I know that Christ is able. He's able because of who he is. He's able because of what he did. He's able because he's God's anointed high priest who has a suitable sacrifice and sin offering to lay on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. He's able. To keep that which I've... Now here it is. I've committed. I've committed unto him. Paul says, I've consciously, willingly, intelligently, I've committed it to Christ. Now my friends, this is not a... This is not a profession before men. This matter of committing everything to Christ is not walking down an aisle and making some kind of public testimony. This committal of soul, of life, of our sins, of our hope, of our future, this committal of self, of all I am and all I have to Christ, is something that takes place between me and God, with no soul winner in between, or no preacher in between, or no religious huckster in between, or nobody looking for statistics and fame and so forth. It's me and Christ. I've committed it to him. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And you're the only one who can answer that. Have you committed all to Christ? Well, I made a profession. That's not the answer. Have you committed all to Christ? Well, I was saved when I was 14. That's not the answer. Have you committed your soul and life and family and possessions and future and salvation and resurrection and eternity and acceptance with God? Have you committed lock, stock, and barrel everything into the hands of Jesus Christ? The Father put it there. You'd be wise to put it there. Have you intelligently and willingly and personally and lovingly in an unconditional surrender committed it to Christ? Well, you're the only one who can answer that. Paul answered it for himself. He said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm confident. I don't have a shadow of a doubt. Not a faint shadow of a doubt that I know he's able. He's able. He's the only one who in heaven or earth or under the earth who is able to keep anything. And I have consciously, intelligently, willingly committed it to Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. Like Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You don't have to ask the preacher if you're saved or ask your wife if you're saved or ask some traveling evangelist if you're saved. If you have submitted and surrendered to Christ and received him and committed your soul to him by faith in heart, you are saved. It's a personal committal too. Oh, I'm for public confession. I'm 100% in favor of baptism and a public acknowledgement of Christ and all these things. But I tell you, that private, personal, individual committal to Christ must take place between you and God. It's got to. It's just got to. And then you can get out of this religious pattern. You get out of this, well, honey, we ought to start going back to church again. We've laid out of church. I see people all the time who lay out a while and come to church. I know what's happening. They get under conviction and say, well, we ought to go to church again, you know. So they come a while and some come on special days, and they're in that kind of religious ritual. Well, they're not a spiritual Christian. They're a carnal Christian, or they're not like they ought to be, but they do love the Lord and all these things. If there ever anything takes place between you and Jesus Christ, you belong to him, lock, stock, and barrel. He's your foundation. He's your refuge. He's your lover. He's your husband. He's your wife. He's your brother. He's your father. He's your hope. He's your ambition. He's your blueprint. He's everything. And the more you can be with him and his people and love him and rejoice in here and hear him and hear about him, the happier you are. You've committed it. That's a committal. And this other 6 and 7, you can just have it because it's not worth the time it'd take to blow it up or something, somebody said. All right, here's the second definition. It's Hebrews 11. Now that's what Paul says, the definition of faith. I know whom I have believed, and I am confident. He is able to keep that which I've committed. It's his. In his hands I've committed. All right, Hebrews 11, 1. Now watch this. Now faith is. Here's what faith is. Here's what faith is. Here's what saving faith is. It's the substance. Now the word substance is support, ground, foundation. Faith is the ground or the substance, the foundation of things hoped for. What do we hope for? Well, we hope for acceptance with God. We hope for forgiveness of sins. That's what you're hoping for? That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping God looks upon me in Christ and loves me. I'm hoping God will forgive my sin. I hope that God Almighty will accept me in Christ. That's what I hope. That's what I hope. I haven't seen those things. I haven't received any paper saying this is to certify that Henry Mahan's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope it is. I hope. Jim, you got any papers that tell you that I've got a birth certificate that tells me I'm a Mahan? I've got a driver's license to tell me I can drive, in case you want to know. And I've got other things in there, but I don't have any kind of paper that tells me that I'm a Christian, child of God. What's your support? What's your ground? What's your foundation? Faith? Faith in whom? Faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is my foundation. The Word of God is my support. And you know why? Because a promise of God is as good as a deed. Now let me show you. Let me illustrate that. Whole Hebrews 11, we're coming back. But turn to Romans 4. Romans 4. Abraham didn't have a son. But he had the Word of God that he'd have a son. And he believed it. All right, look at that. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Talking about Abraham, who against hope, that's against natural reasoning and natural wisdom and natural causes, who against hope believed in hope, that he would become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken by God. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, or yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 is saying. All that I hope for, all that I expect, faith is the support and the ground and the foundation of that. Because faith finds its foundation in the promise of God. I believe it. I believe it. That's what God has promised he's able to perform. This is the ground and support of faith. That's what faith is. Believing God. Abraham believed God. He believed God. All right, what's the next line in Hebrews 11? And faith is the evidence. That word evidence is proof. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Noah, here's an old man standing out there on a plain. And he and his boys are building a ship out here on dry land. They're building a ship in a place where it's never rained. And they've never had a flood. Noah, why are you building that ark? He replies, I believe God. I believe God. His faith believed the Word of God. The Word of God was the ground or foundation of his faith and what he hoped to see. His building the ark was the proof of it. His building the ark was the proof that he believed it. All right, let me ask you, Moses, why are you putting blood on the door? That seems like an awful silly thing to do to me, put blood on a door. Why are you doing that? I believe God. I believe that at midnight tonight, God's coming through this land. And he's going to slay the firstborn in every house. And God told me to slay the lamb, roast it with fire, and eat the body, and put the blood on the door. And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over me. The word of God is the ground of what Moses expected. He believed God. And his putting the blood on the door was the evidence that he believed God. See that? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The proof of things not seen. Sinner, why are you being baptized? You come into the pool and you're going to follow the Lord in baptism. Why are you doing that? I'm doing it because I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again for my justification. And I am by faith giving evidence that I believe that. I'm following my Lord in baptism. You see, faith stands in the place of things hoped for and the things not seen until those things become a reality. Does that help? That's what says faith. Now, faith, I know whom I have believed. Faith not in a myth or a creed or a catechism or a system of doctrine. Faith rests in a person. Faith looks to a person. Faith is directed to a person. A person in whom we have confidence, knowledge of him and confidence in him. Confidence that he is able, that he's commissioned of God, he's sent of God, he's able to do all that God requires, all that the law demands, all that I need. He's able. And that faith commits myself to him. It surrenders. It commits. It's not Christ plus holding on to something else. Somebody says, well, I don't believe baptism is essential to salvation, but just in case, that ain't faith. Well, I know that certain things aren't required, but, no but, I'm committed to Christ. The thief on the cross never walked a step for Jesus. His feet were nailed to the cross. He never moved a hand for Christ. They were nailed to the cross. He never washed in the pool of baptism. He never witnessed to one single person. Never won a soul to Jesus. Never gave a dime to missionaries. And he went with Christ straight to glory. That's faith. Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You're all I have. You're my hope. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You're everything. That's committal. That's committal. Faith, it's a precious grace wherever it's bestowed. It rests in Jesus Christ alone, and it is the gift of God. Faith owns Jesus Christ to be king, the all-atoning priest. Faith claims no merit of its own, looks for all to Christ. To him, faith leads the soul when filled with deep distress. It flies to the fountain of blood and trusts his righteousness. Since 'tis thy work alone and that divinely free, Lord, send thy spirit and thy word and work that faith in me. All right, I've given you two things. The importance of faith. And I can't stress that too strongly. Secondly, what is faith? Not going over it again. You heard what I said. Thirdly, whence cometh this faith? Now the Bible says all men have not faith. A lot of men have religion. Now I want you to listen carefully right here. A lot of men have religion, but all men do not have this saving faith. All women do not have this saving faith. In fact, our Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he even find faith on this earth? A lot of people have religion. A lot of people have doctrine. A lot of people have strong moral principles. Very few have faith. Very few. In fact, Israel, out of the millions that left Egypt, only two entered the promised land, over 20 years of age. Why? Unbelief. Unbelief. That's the sole reason. Unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. All right? Where does faith come from? Number one, it's the gift of God. Faith is not a flower that grows in the garden of human nature. It's a gift of God. Where you find faith, you find God at work. It's a gift of God. It's given unto you to believe on Him. Faith is the gift of God, not of works. It's a gift of God. Well, what are you suggesting? I'm suggesting you do what the disciples did. Ask Christ for faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that what they said? What about the centurion? He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe. Secondly, faith is born of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. Galatians 3 keeps talking about the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. This is the seed of faith right here. Believe me honestly. This is the foundation here, right here. God said it. David said, I believe, therefore I speak. And Paul quoted the same thing. There's no other foundation for faith than the Word of God. It's not feeling. Somebody said, well, I just feel like God will do this. You can bet He'll do the opposite. That's too hard, but that's so. Well, it's been my experience. Watch out. Watch out. Well, I'll tell you what I think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. There's a way that seems right to me. It seems to me. You know, everything we say like that leads us into a wilderness. Here's the thing to say. God said this, and I believe it. I don't understand everything in this book. I'm going to talk about that tonight. There's so much I don't understand. But there's some things I do understand. And I believe it. I believe God. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is born of the Word of God. And faith is a heart work. Now here's where I want to camp for just a moment. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised Him from the dead. Now I'm not talking about this organ here. This organ in here called the heart is not the heart He's talking about there. Believe me, He's not. Believe me, He's not. And you know, I want to be as kind as possible, but I have friends who are opposed to heart transplants on this basis. Yeah, but if God's given me a new heart and they put another heart in there, where was the new heart? Well, you laugh, but some folks are serious about that. How can a man have an artificial heart? That's the seat of affections. No, not this organ. This thing could explode, but I ain't going to explode. We're talking about, when you talk about the heart, we're talking about the real you. We're talking about the seat of your affections, the soul. With the heart, man believeth. With the soul, with the seat of affections, with the real, honest to goodness, you. You and me. Who you think I am and believe I am, and I might even convince you I am, may not be who I am. God knows who I am, and I know who I am. Why are we content to deceive people? Why are we content to carry on a charade of religion? Why are we content to be one way at church and another way at home? It's rather stupid, isn't it? Because God doesn't look on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. And this believing with the heart is believing with the affection. For example, let me give you this. Now listen to this. There are some things I know and believe which I do not love and of which I don't approve. Now listen to me. You know, the Bible says, you believe there's one God, the devil believes there's one God and trembles. I believe there's a country called Russia. I don't love it. I don't approve of it. But I believe it. Don't I believe it? Well, of course I believe it. I have plenty of evidence that there's a country called Russia. But I don't love that country. I despise it. And I don't approve of it. All right? I believe that Russia is a communist state. I know that. If you're going to pin me to the wall and shoot me, I'd have to say, yes, it's a communist state, and that's all it is to it. But I don't love it. I believe there's a devil. I don't love him. I despise him. And the multitudes of people who believe there's a God and Jesus Christ died on the cross and is buried and rose again, they know it's so. Do they love him? That's another question. That's another question. So you see, you can really believe something. And when preachers talk about believing with the head as opposed to believing with the heart, I believe in Russia with the head. Believe in the devil with the head. It's facts, truth, of which you can believe the doctrines of grace. You say, well, I'm saved because I believe God's sovereign, man's laws, and Christ died on the cross. Oh, I beg your pardon. The devil believes every one of those things. I don't mean you're saved. The man saved who loves Christ, who is approves of Christ, who has been brought by his affections into a oneness with Christ, in whom Christ lives. There's a difference, my friend. And that's the reason I say a man can believe a lot of things and not love them and not approve of them at all. And not accept them at all. And not be one with them at all. But now here's this thing of faith. It's a heart faith. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm glad. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm convinced of it. He's the Son of God. I believe He's the Christ who lived on this earth, who obeyed God's law, who died for me. I believe He's my Lord and my Master, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I belong to Him, and everything I got, the whole shooting match belongs to Him. And I want it that way. I submit. This I love, this I approve, and this I delight in. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory in anything else. And you know, this is where most people miss faith right there. They think, they say, well, you say, how long have you been saved? I've always been saved. What do you mean? I've always believed Jesus died on the cross. Well, that all depends on how smart you were when you were a child. If you were pretty intelligent as a child, I might buy that. But you hadn't always been saved. There was a day when you confronted the demands of that Christ. There was a day when you confronted the deity of that Christ. There was a day when you confronted the love of that Christ as opposed to the love of this world. There was a day when you confronted the demands of that Christ on His people as opposed to the attractions of life. And that's when you found out whether you loved Him or not. That's exactly when you found out whether you loved Him. When you were willing to bow like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. Let me give you one other thing. In Romans chapter, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This thing of faith. Whence cometh this faith? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now listen to this. I wind it up right here. Paul came to Corinth. And he said in chapter 2 verse 1, brethren, when I came to you in Corinth, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the gospel of God. I didn't come with philosophy and earthly wisdom, try to impress you with my fine speech and personality and so forth. But I determined, verse 2, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, the Lord, and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness. I know my own frailty in the flesh, and my own weakness, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. I was with you in fear and trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with persuasible words of man's wisdom. I didn't high pressure you to walk the aisle, or high pressure you to make a decision, or high pressure you to accept Jesus, or high pressure you to do anything else. I didn't put any pressure on you, persuade you with man's wisdom and logic and so forth. But I preached to you in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. In order that, now watch verse 5, your faith should not stand or be in the wisdom of men, What does that mean? Do you know we have a strong tendency to adopt our parents' religion? My parents were Baptists. I grew up in a Baptist church. And most of my early life, it was the reason I was a Baptist. Because that's the way I was taught. I suppose if my parents had been Catholic, I'd have been a Catholic. If they'd been Mormon, I'd have been a Mormon. Church of Christ, I'd probably been a Church of Christ. We have a tendency to... We respect our parents. I think I could say this about my daughter Becky. Her daddy was a Baptist preacher who preached sovereignty, and I think she just believed those things. So one day she met Christ when she passed 20-some-odd years of age. But up to that point, she just believed what I taught her. She had confidence in me and respect for me, and I'd never lied to her, and so she believed me. But that won't save. Did you know that? We have a tendency to follow our denomination. We have a tendency to believe great men like Spurgeon and Gill and Owens and Baxter. Hold on, wait a minute now. Hold on here. No confidence in the flesh. Well, Owens said this. I don't care what Owens said. He's a man, he may be lost. He may be lost. Paul said, don't let your faith stand in the wisdom of men. He said, I preached in such a way that your faith should not stand. That's the reason Paul said, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you. He didn't want any of them to say, well, Paul baptized me. What's that got to do with it? Well, I tell you, my old parents were godly people. That don't make you godly. You can't inherit salvation. He said, I want your faith to stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in the Word of God, in a clear revelation of God to you. To you. Let me show you a picture of that over here in John 18. And I'm being truthful with you. This is the same point I'm on here. In John 18:33. Now, this is what I'm going to close with and leave this with you to think about. John 18:33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. He called Jesus. All of you have it? John 18:33. And said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? That's what I'm asking. What do you know about Jesus Christ? Is that what you know or what you've been taught? That's right. That's what our Lord asked Pilate. He said, are you Jesus? Are you the king of the Jews? He said, did somebody tell you that, or is that coming out of you? And this is what I'm asking right here, this thing of faith in Christ. Is this something you heard Brother Mahan preach, or some other preacher preach, or Mom and Daddy taught you, or handed down to you, read one of the old Puritans, or you read the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, or is this something coming out of you? Do you say this of yourself? I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Under God, before God, in the name of the living God, from my innermost being and seat of affections, if the whole world perishes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If nobody else believes it in this room, can you say that? I'm not quoting somebody. I'm not parroting somebody. I'm not saying it because I was raised a Baptist or a Methodist. I'm saying it because God revealed it to me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's my hope. He's my refuge. He's my Lord. I'll live and die with Him. And by God's grace, I'll reign with Him. That's salvation. And that's faith. That's the faith that saves. Clear as I can make it. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for your word. Where would we be without the word? We just look to the word. We believe and therefore we've spoken. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Lord, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Lord, help our unbelief. Move through this congregation in the power of your Spirit and give faith. Give faith. Plant the seed of the word in the hearts of men and women and bring forth saving faith. faith to live by, faith in Christ to rest in, faith that'll win the victory over trials, that'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb, faith that'll enable us to die restful, peaceful.